Blazers, and happy September 10th, you guys. It is Friday. We made it to the weekend. I hope everybody has fun plans for the weekend. And if your fun plans include no plans, then I hope you have no plans for the weekend. I am Allison. I'm the host of Pop Chaser, a daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip. And today we are going to go through the headlines that'll carry you into the weekend. I hope everybody is emotionally and mentally preparing for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City premiere on Sunday. I will talk more about that at the end of the episode for my rec of the week. But more importantly, we need to talk about this one clip that played at the very, very end of the Beverly Hills episode this week that I am still riding high on. This will carry me into the weekend for sure. And honestly, even Monday, when the Monday blues come around, I'll still be thinking about this clip. I hope your weekend is even half as eventful as the last year of Tom Girardi's life. Listen to this.
Tom's house was broken into and he confronted the burglar and then had to go have eye surgery. And then my son had to go for help. And then he rolled his car 5 times on the way home. Yeah.
Okay, let's get into the first topic of the day, Bachelor in Paradise. So Bachelor in Paradise returns on Tuesday this week. And of course, we will see the fallout of Chris and Elena being kicked off the beach, which I didn't even think this show could do, and how that relates to Brendan and Piper. Now, I've talked about how Brendan and Piper certainly didn't get the same treatment as Elena and Chris. Some contestants on Twitter have said that's because they weren't privy to the hot mic moments that were happening while the two were on a daybed. But regardless, it certainly seems like Chris and Elena were viewed by their fellow contestants as the low men on the totem pole. They were kind of nobodies, and I don't mean that in a mean way, but at the end of the day, I didn't remember who Chris or Elena were. And I think for the other more popular contestants like Grocery Store Joe, it's a lot easier to pick on the little man, of course. And that's exactly what happened. Finally, Chrissy and Elena are speaking out about their expulsion from the beach. And this is what they had to say. So Chris took to Instagram. He wrote a very lengthy post. And he said, first and foremost, I take complete accountability for my blatant disrespect towards Jesenia and handling the situation poorly. I did reach out to Jesenia to apologize after getting home, and I would like to reiterate my sincerest apologies to her now. My past behavior is not a reflection of who I am or who I want to be, and it was never my intention to maliciously or purposefully hurt anyone on the show. He then goes on to claim that he is an awful communicator and he's an extremely non-confrontational person, which I think we certainly saw when Joe and Riley were confronting him and sent him on his way. He says he is doing work privately to work through those issues. He says that he entered Paradise with integrity and was by no means in a relationship, specifically with Elena. He says that he hung out with Elena and Jesenia in group settings, but he was not in a relationship with either of them prior to the show. He apologizes to Elena because he says that he got her mixed up in all of this, and he begs everybody to stop bullying her on social media. Death threats are obviously never okay. And you guys, especially, and I don't think it's the Pop Chaser audience that's sending death threats, but I sometimes just like don't understand people who send death threats to Bachelor in Paradise contestants. You don't have to watch the show, first of all. Second of all, this is for you at home, the lowest stakes possible. You are not involved in these relationships. So people, you just must have you just have so much time on your hands. No plans for the weekend for sure, but in like a bad way. Just get a life. Whenever I was growing up and I would complain about something that was just so mundane and silly, my dad would always just say, Allison, get a life. And I say that to the trolls who are sending death threats to Elena from Bachelor in Paradise. Truly, just get a life. Anyway, Chris goes on to say that he was not in a relationship prior to the show. He arrived single and left single. We all remember, this is not your car, Chris. And he says, please don't compare me to Brendan and Piper because it is not the same. I was disrespectful to Jesenia and should have carried myself better. I am sorry for my actions and I do not regret following my heart on the show. So I think that at the end of the day, we can all admit we were all very heated after Tuesday's episode. I think coming back to back with Brendan and Piper felt this is just the same thing. I can't believe they would do this, but they're even worse actors. At least that's what I was saying. Now, in hindsight, I've taken a couple of days. I've thought about it. I was definitely overreactive. I hope the people that were on the beach can admit that they completely overreacted. Brendan had a huge apology on his social media about how he posted some flippant Instagram that said, "Here for the wrong reasons." He posted it before his episode, but obviously after the episode, it looked really, really, really bad. He says a full apology is to follow. That makes me think that in this coming episode, we'll get a lot of Brendan and Piper, and he probably doesn't want to apologize now and then have to apologize later. Hey, sometimes you can preemptively apologize. I'm just saying you might look better, but what do I know? I've just been watching the show since the beginning of time, truly like land before time. There were dinosaurs walking around and I was watching Bachelor. So that is Chris's side of the story, but Elena's side of the story is pretty interesting to me. So Elena says the exact same thing as Chris. She was on the Bachelor Happy Hour podcast with Becca Kufrin, fellow Paradiser. And she said that it was in her opinion, everyone overreacted and that she was just friends with Chris. They were not there in a relationship. They were not in a relationship prior to showing up on Paradise. And she does say that nothing was planned. And if the roles were reversed, she would feel the same way as Jesenia did. She says, "I don't think that Chris made all the right decisions. I'm not going to say that he did," she emphasized. But this is where it gets interesting. Elena and Chris obviously did not leave things well in Paradise. Again, it was not his car. But Elena told Becca that Chris reached out to her multiple times after they went home and apologized, and they've reconciled since. And she says, "He is in my life and I've forgiven him," and that they have gone on, get this, a bunch of dates since Paradise ended. And she said, "I'm very scared to talk about it because I feel like it'll look a certain way. But the fact is, we weren't dating before." So I kind of understand where she's coming from. I think if she was like, "Yeah, we're dating now," everyone would be like, "You guys absolutely were dating before." But I think her saying that she's scared to even say it tells me that she probably is just, she's terrified of what people are going to perceive as a relationship that has come from going through a shared experience that was probably kind of traumatic, going on a TV show and thinking one thing is going to happen and then the complete opposite thing happens and you're on the beach for what, like 10 hours and people bully you off of it. So I don't know if these two crazy kids are together, mazel tov. If they are not, I hope that they're both getting the therapy and support from friends that they need in this time. And I will be waiting for a Joe and Riley apology. And I apologize for my part in it being too quick to judge, but I think the others have a lot of explaining to do. And I would like to see it before any type of a reunion, because then I get annoyed because it's like, no, you are posting photos of you on, you know, the weekend going out with your friends, drinking beer. Like, you can post an apology. You can. That's just how it works. I don't make the rules. Okay, let's move on to the next thing.
You are a serial killer. You love that you're getting away with murder and you cannot wait to kill again. Have you learned nothing?
Don't be ashamed. A lot of folks get queasy at the sight of blood.
It gets to me every time.
So I have talked about it before on this podcast, but I am so excited for the Dexter revival. We got the official full-length trailer on Thursday, and it is so good. So I think that I have more of an understanding of what's happening in this revival. Dexter has kind of laid his roots in this small upstate New York town, very snowy. He has a relationship with a cop. He is jovial. At one point, he like howls or makes like a bird caw. And he's just very, very happy in this life. It looks like he works at a little shop. He brings donuts for his coworkers. Just, this is not the Dexter, the serial killer that we know. But in this small town, some dark things start happening. It seems like maybe some kids go missing. In one shot, there's even a child getting into a huge semi truck on a very dark and lonely highway. Very, very, very much Riverdale vibes. But you've got him, I think, learning to either suppress or perhaps lean into his urges when these things start to happen around town. And I don't know if it's going to be full-on serial killer or if he is going to just have to suppress this with the help of Deb, who's going to become his new North Star, the new Harry. Speaking of Harry, there is a special guest in the trailer, which really blew my mind because it just makes me feel very old. And that's Harrison, his son. Listen to this clip.
What are you doing?
Where are you, Dexter Morgan?
It's me, your son.
Harrison.
So it sounds like Harrison obviously knows who Dexter is. He's not just, so in the show, he goes by Jim Lindsay. That's his alias. It doesn't seem like Harrison has any question of who Dexter is since he says, are you Dexter Morgan? But I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for him. Is Harrison there to collect child support? Is Harrison there to expose him? Does Harrison know that he's a serial killer? These are all of the questions that I have, and I'm sure we'll get answers to them in November, but I have to say seeing Harrison as a full-fledged adult, maybe he's like late teens, 19 perhaps, blew my mind because I was there when he was born, and I know that that's just the passage of time, but it hasn't been 19 years. I mean, we must be just jumping into the future. We have to. Now that I'm saying it all out loud, I realize there must be a time jump. Another Riverdale hat tip, perhaps? I don't know. Anyway, Deb looks great. Happy to have her back. I love the tongue-in-cheek comments, like him being queasy at the sight of blood. All of it just makes me so happy. I forgot that Dexter had this dark comedy sense to it. Anyway, I cannot wait until November. It's going to be so exciting to be back with the character that we all loved and then hated because it got so bad. But hopefully we'll love it again. We can find room in our hearts, right? Okay, let's move on to the next thing.
Hi.
Hi, Jen.
She's so cute. Meredith is meeting us there. Mary just called. She's meeting us there.
Okay.
Hi, baby.
Actually,
no, not yet. We're at Beauty Lab and Laser in the parking lot. Wait. Okay. Okay, wait.
Can I what?
Can we turn it off?
Yeah.
I have some bad news.
What's going on?
Yeah, I can feel your energy completely. I just got a phone call and I need to go.
Wait, no, what? Do you have to go?
Yeah.
We're looking for Jen Shaw.
What is going on?
She just left.
Wait, Jen? They were asking about Jen.
You guys, what if she's on the run?
It is time for the rec of the week, and that goes to Salt Lake City. So Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season 2 premieres on Sunday. And what a Sunday it'll be because we've got Potomac on Sunday as well. I can finally say I have seen the screener. It is incredible. If you haven't watched the first 2 minutes of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City premiere, Bravo released it earlier this week. It is unreal. It literally shows Jen Shaw moments before she was arrested, and she's filming with the women. They get on a bus. She gets a call. I'm assuming that call says the feds have an arrest warrant for you. I don't know. And she books it out of there in a pickup truck. And the question is who tipped the feds off? How did they know that she was going to be at Beauty Lab for them to go on this trip? Meredith and Mary are both noticeably absent from that scene, but I'm not going to jump to conclusions yet. I haven't seen the whole season yet. But I have to say, this is going to be an epic, epic premiere. If you haven't watched Salt Lake City yet, you're only one season behind. I would even argue you can just jump in at season two, because everything that happened last season will be touched on this season. But don't sleep on Salt Lake City. It is so good. I cannot wait. I just can't wait to see how this all unravels. The talking heads, the little confessional interviews. This is finally the season where I just am like dying to hear what people have to say. Even Meredith, who never shows any type of emotion in her speaking voice. What is Meredith thinking? What is Meredith thinking? What is Mary thinking? Get Mary out of that closet. We talked about this earlier this week, but yeah, Salt Lake City premiere. It's going to be epic Sunday night. So check that out. Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening to Pop Chaser today. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Of course, if you want more from us, you can go to thedip.com. Use the promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. I will be back on Tuesday with a new Pop Chaser. Check out TV Watch Repeat on Monday. We are going to be talking about the first episode of Survivor. It's going to be a really good one. That TV show is fantastic, and Kate and I had so much fun talking about it. And until then, I hope everyone has a fantastic weekend, and cheers.